On Good Friday, many of us fall to pieces. If the events we remember today don't offend us, we haven't been paying attention. The violence done to Jesus cries out for justice, and we should be appalled by what we've done to him. Just as offensive is the violence we've done to his very own people, the Jews. For Jesus was a Jew, born of Jews. And Christians have been persecuting Jews and many, many others in his name for centuries. We need to acknowledge our responsibility for this violence and repent. But today I'd like to take us down a different path. Today I'd like to speak about how the cross helps us find wholeness in our lives. We are all familiar with what the crucifixion can be like when it becomes a theory, when we pretend to know all the details of the transaction between Jesus and his Father. Many of us struggle with a common theory of salvation where Jesus is punished in our place. Fortunately, that's just one theory. The Bible contains many others. But beyond our theories about how it works to save us, the death of Jesus is an experience that we share. The cross confronts us with God's own truth, as well as God's own boundless mercy. And our worship today offers us the suffering and death of Jesus as a shared experience. On the cross, Jesus is lifted up to draw the whole world to himself. For us, he wins the victory over sin and suffering and death, over everything that harms us, all that divides us, all that makes us afraid. Jesus wins the victory once and for all. Today, as we meditate on Christ crucified, I'd like to appeal to two different writers as guides to help us learn how to die to our false selves. To begin with, there's Brené Brown, a Texas Episcopalian and a professor of social work. She's known to many of us through her TED Talks, through her books, through popular videos. Brené's research interests have always included such difficult tasks as understanding shame and vulnerability. But then she came to a point in her spiritual journey where she had to grapple with these realities in her own life. At first, she thought of this experience as a, quote, breakdown. But she had a really good therapist who told her to call it a spiritual awakening instead. And it was at that time that she came back to church. She was raised in the church, but she hadn't been going to church in some time. She came back, she says, because that's what all the books on midlife crisis say to do. It was a very brave move. Even here in Texas, her colleagues didn't always approve of religion. And then she became something of a rock star in the pop psychology and pop spirituality world. Oprah has her on speed dial, I'm told. But unlike so many Christians whose books are on the self-help shelves, she is no prosperity preacher. Her work can't be compared with books like Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking, Joel Osteen's Think Better, Live Better, or Robert Schuller's The Be Happy Attitudes. A pastor I used to know use the last of these books to illustrate the difference between what Martin Luther called the theology of glory and the theology of the cross. The theology of glory is the world of carefully constructed narratives. It's the world of spin and photoshopped images on our social media feeds. The theology of the cross is about the redemption of the real world, the one that includes the real me that I don't show to any other people, the me that I might be ashamed of. The theology of glory is for the church of the holy and the pure who wield our faith like a weapon. The theology of the cross is for the little flock that Jesus gathers together at the foot of his cross. In a famous YouTube video, Brené talks about coming back to church. Using an analogy drawn from the world of childbirth, she says that she expected faith to be a kind of epidural. She thought of it as something that would block the pain. But what she found instead was a midwife telling her to push. At many stages in our spiritual life, growth can hurt us, and the only way out is through. But in Jesus, we meet a God who practices costly forgiveness and invites us to do the way, do the same. Forgiveness is not about letting people go on hurting us. More often than not, it's about getting someone out of our heads so that we can let go and move on. For us to really forgive one another, part of us needs to die. God's love is a messy love that leaves a puddle of blood on the floor. And that reminds me of the second of our guides today, Father Ken Leach. Father Ken was a priest in the Church of England. For many years, he served as a community theologian in a poor parish in East London. In the 60s and 70s, he ministered with disaffected and drug-addicted youth in the slums. To enter into the mystery of Christ dying, he once said in a Holy Week sermon, is to experience what's been called positive disintegration. It's a breaking process, a spiritual void of turbulence and dereliction, utter lostness. It seems as if our whole being is disintegrating, but what are disintegrating are the defenses which surround us. This is the beginning of liberation of our true being. So, he continues, there's a necessary integration of the cross, a sharing in the dying of Jesus, so that it no longer is seen simply as an event external to us. In fact, only those who know something of the meaning of despair can come to experience victory. One of the worst aspects of the darkness we face is the painful fear that some of the darkness may not be redeemable. Yet this too has to be faced in trust and confidence. In today's lesson from Hebrews, we hear about the full assurance of faith and about entering into heaven through Christ's own flesh. In him, the walls that divide us from heaven and God's reality have been broken down so that we may enter into the Holy of Holies covered in the Savior's blood. In him we have been saved once and for all. And so we don't have to go on telling the same old lies to each other. We don't have to try to earn our salvation. We don't need to do anything to earn our place at God's table. It has been bought and paid for by the precious blood of Christ. And Jesus Christ has been made us worthy to be here by giving up his life for us all. And so we can live with our many imperfections. and we can face those losses we don't yet know how to redeem. For in Jesus, we have been embraced by the holy mystery we call God. We have entered the dark cloud and the burning fire of his passion. We have met the Lord God who sets us free. And so we can listen to his cries. We can endure the brutal silence of his passion. And we can wait together faithfully for the dawning of the third day. Amen.